Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you this morning. Glad to be with you this morning. How are you doing? That's a pretty important question for us to ask ourselves and to ask each other every day. You know, how are we doing? Yesterday, I had the fun and the privilege of joining with our Wise Women group by Zoom, and the question that was asked of us was, what blessing or grace have you received from this time of isolation and quarantine? How are you doing with that, and what have you gotten that's a blessing? And we all found something that we're grateful for. We all found a blessing, because they're always there if we look for them. But also, we're experiencing now, after over 3 months of isolation, we're also experiencing some boredom, some desire to be free from the restrictions that we're currently observing. And so we're entering a new phase of our time of being alone, our time of not being able to be with each other, not only just our church, but with our families and friends. And I just want to remind all of us before I start the lesson today that we are all engaged in a very important transformation in the world right now. Whatever you're doing in consciousness that is good for you is also good for the world. The smallest amount of growth that any one of us has contributes to the growth of all. The smallest moment of enlightenment contributes to the enlightenment of us all. So don't underestimate the power of your own process contributing to the great transformation that we're undergoing. And I'm going to jump on out there and say that we are in the midst of making the world something different than it was before. And that is a huge thing. It's huge. So in the moments when you're caught up in being so insulated and isolated, know that your prayer, your moment of gratitude, your moment of generosity also contributes to everyone else. Your moment of sometimes painful awakening contributes to all of us becoming more awake and aware and alert and alive. So keep up the good work, my friends. Even in the midst of the strangeness of this all, know that you are a vital part of the transformation of this entire world. So, this morning I'd like to share with you a story, and you saw the title of the lesson today. It's about Jesus stilling the waters. And this is not one of our most, Jesus's most astonishing miracles. I would say that it's maybe not as significant as raising the dead, but nevertheless, it's very significant. And the story appears in the first three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, almost verbatim. So this miracle that Jesus performed, whether it actually happened or not, and you know that we talk about the Bible this way, whether or not the event actually happened, the lesson that the story teaches us is more important than the veracity of the story. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lesson for us to be learned in all of these things. So I'm going to read to you the account of this particular miracle from the book of, Matthew. Okay, let me make sure I have the right page here. I'm sorry. Oh, here we go. So Jesus had been preaching to great crowds, and he'd been very busy. So this is in the eighth chapter of Matthew. And we know that chapter 5 was the Sermon on the Mount, and between chapters 5 and 8, Jesus is busy. And he gets tired. And it's good for us to know that Jesus, as a human, experienced the same human difficulties that we experience. So, now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And, excuse me, this is at the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples had a boat there, and he said, let's go to the other side of the sea, and let me take a rest. So it's good to know first in this lesson that Jesus is saying, and when you're tired, rest. If you've been busy doing your work and you feel a need to take a nap, nap. If you need a moment to sit in the quiet, do that. So the disciples got into the boat with Jesus. Now the Sea of Galilee is prone to having little squalls or storms come up on it. And given that some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen, they knew this about the sea. Remember that Jesus' disciples were not necessarily the most educated people that were high in the culture, in the society. These were common people. Probably the most educated of them was Luke, who was a doctor. So these are common folk, and Jesus picked them on purpose and in person, because he wanted them to be able to receive the message. If they could get it, then it could go out to other people. So a windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." And he said to them, and I'm just going to preface this by saying, if somebody wakes me up from a nap when I'm not necessarily wanting to be awakened, I'm not the most cheerful person. So keep that in mind as you hear Jesus' next words. "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Well, I want to say a little something about the disciples here. The disciples have already been witnessing miracles. They'd witnessed the crowds that wanted to hear Jesus. They had seen Jesus do things that they'd never seen anyone do before. So Jesus stills the water, and still they ask the question, "What kind of man is this that can still the waters?" So it's taking the disciples a little while to understand exactly how magnificent Jesus was. "You of little faith, what is wrong with you? You're waking me up from a good nap. Okay, let me take care of this." So he stills the water. Because I've got to think that if Jesus demonstrated his humanity as many times as we see in the scripture, he also demonstrated that human quality of maybe a little bit of impatience. And he rebuked them, saying, "Where's your faith? Really? Where is your faith?" So there's a story about faith here, but I want to take all these elements of the story and kind of break them down a little bit. If we look at the meaning of water, and it doesn't matter if you're looking at it from the metaphysical standpoint or the astrological standpoint, or as somebody who's familiar with the water as a swimmer or a boater or a fisherman, you know that the water has a very calming effect. And metaphysically, the water is the realm of potential. You know, the sea was one of the first things that was created. And so it is the richness of life. It's the birth of things. So there's a great deal of potential in the idea of water. And I know that for myself, when I'm feeling stressed, being around a body of water, whether it's a bathtub or an ocean, makes me peaceful. So here is the sea. But remember that the water is also a very changeable, mutable substance. It's subject to the pull of the moon in its tides. It's subject to being stirred up by storms. So we've got the water as a very dynamic part of our existence. It's the majority of what we're composed of in our physical bodies. So water is a very important element in this. It's the ground of being. It's the realm of potential. And so when the storm comes up, Jesus is acknowledging that this is the element in which we live. This is the ground of our life, the water. And so in this story, it's not just the storm, the actual physical storm, that's the big part of the lesson here. It's about what our lives are about. The ground of all possibility, and also the very changeable, mutable parts of our lives that are influenced by other things. So the water is a very important element of this story. And Jesus said, he brings up faith first. He brings up faith. He doesn't say, don't be afraid. He doesn't bring up fear, he brings up faith. And he said, watch what happens. Watch what happens with the power of the Christ Spirit. And he calms the water. He makes the sea still. So it's not too big a leap for us to know that faith, to know that the Christ Spirit in us can still our waters. This is actually one of the most basic metaphysical lessons that we can learn. We can teach this to our children. That even when the water is troubled, even when our lives are in conflict, even when we're having difficulty, even when we feel like we're being tossed about, that we're in danger, we have that element of faith and indeed the power of will that we talked about in the Daily Word this morning, that Jan and Ann, I like that, Anna Jan, Jan and Ann, brought to us this morning. We can bring will and faith together and we can go on those waters because we have the power within us to do that. Easy lesson, easy peasy lesson. So we're all a part of the characters in this story. We have within us and we live within that great element of water. We know when it's still. We know when it's troubled. We're the disciples going, oh my gosh, everything's a mess. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Can't see our way out of it. The water's swamping the boat. I'm going to drown. Rarely do we drown. We just think we're going to. But we can feel swamped. And we can get afraid, just like the disciples did. But even if they were bailing the boat at the same time, they were also calling upon Jesus. They were calling upon the Christ presence for assistance. And Jesus said, have faith and watch what happens. Still the water. Still the water. So, In these times that we're living in right now, our waters may be troubled. The storms may be upon us. Right now, I was joking about it this morning. My left eye kind of doesn't want to cooperate with me this morning. And I thought about the butterfly effect. You know, they say if a butterfly flaps its wings in one part of the world, it affects activities in the other part of the world, the butterfly effect. Well, there is a mote of dust from the Saharan Desert that won't leave my left eye this morning. And so I'm experiencing a little bit of Africa this morning in my left eye. So that reminds me also that our world is, in reality, pretty small. And if we can still our waters, if we can acknowledge and live with the Saharan dust right now, if we can still the waters of our own soul, of our own life circumstances, and if we can help another with that, then we're contributing to the serenity of the entire world. So never think that your own personal struggle and your triumph over it is just for you. It is for many. And I think it's really important right now that we expand our sometimes myopic view of our own spiritual growth to encompass all of humanity. My friends, it's vital that we do that right now. We have too many things that have been brittle and crystallized in our world for a long time. There are storms that have been raging that we have not had an awareness of for a long time. It's time for us to bring our faith and our will and the power of the Christ presence that lives in us, that lives in our boat, so that we can still the waters and give a mighty demonstration of that power in us. We have so many people to pray for right now. So many. We have so many people that, even in the midst of this pandemic, are suffering, whether they have the disease or not. We have people that have survived the disease that are living with the long-term effects of it. We have whole communities of people of color that are finally having their ache acknowledged. I could continue this list. For the hungry, the disenfranchised, those who are living in poverty, those who don't have access to care. Shall we do what we can, internally and externally, to ease the suffering in the world? We can do that together. As we begin our time of meditation today, I'd like to read to you from Prayers for a Thousand Years. My copy's kind of beat up and yellowed and curly. And and I just realized what I'm using for the bookmark. Okay, my friends, this is really good. This was stuck in my Prayers for a Thousand Years book. And you probably can't see it from here, but it's a picture of Jesus sitting beside the water, with some little lambs in the water. I use this for a bookmark because it was handy. And the title of this piece of art is called Still Waters. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't you just love it when God kind of smacks you in the face that way? Pay attention. So I'm going to read just a little short reading from Michael Ventura, who is an author from California. I don't know anything else about him. And this book actually came into publication quite a few years ago. First came into publication in 1999. We have entered a new Middle Ages, a time of plague, famine, violence, extreme class disparity, and religious fanaticism. Oh my goodness. He wrote this 20 years ago. And also, as in the late Middle Ages, a time of profound discovery and change, a time when it is terribly important and often dangerous to preserve values and knowledge, to stand up for visions that most of this crazed world can't comprehend or tolerate. The value of having an inner map of the world as it is, not as it's broadcast, is this. It allows you to know that your task is larger than yourself. If you choose, just by virtue of being a decent person, you are entrusted with passing on something of value through a dark, crazy time. Preserving your integrity in your way, by your acts and your very breathing, for those who will build again when the chaos exhausts itself. People who assume the burden of their own integrity are free, because integrity is freedom. And, as Nelson Mandela proved, its force can't be quelled even when a person of integrity is jailed. The future lives in our individual, often lonely, and certainly unprofitable acts of integrity, or it doesn't live at all. So will you join me as we become those people of integrity, as we acknowledge that integrity that already lives with us, known to us, and yet in potential? Will you, by your very breath, tap into your integrity, your willingness to be the force for change in the world, your willingness to still the waters of your own life and the lives of those around you, and indeed the lives of all? Will you just begin to breathe into yourself, because your breath is the gateway to those very things? Will you, beloved, put aside everything else that troubles you and know that these few moments of peace and intention bring solution and clarity to the things that are yet unknown to us? Will you, no matter where you are right now, no matter when you see this broadcast, will you extend your hands and your hearts to all those with whom you cannot make physical contact right now? Those that you love, people with whom you're acquainted, the strangers that are still yet our brothers and sisters. Will you take them in your great loving embrace that is empowered by your Christ Spirit? We do not do this alone. We are not asked to do this alone. We are asked to do this from the very nature of our being because we are God's. We are God's very own. And breathe. Do you feel the waters stilling around you? Do you feel how your boat is not tossed upon the waters quite like it was? Can you see just for a little while? You don't even have to go as far as the horizon. Can you see the smooth sailing on which your life rides? Breathe again. Now in your prayer, in this stillness, just open your hands. Open your hands not only to receive, but open hands can hardly deny or reject the goodness of God. And those same open hands, not clenched, not closed up, but your open hands, also give to the world. They give to the world from your heart, from your very essence, from the deepest part of your being. We must. And the blessing, beloved, is that in giving of our hearts, our generosity, our healing presence, our still waters, in giving to the world, we are not diminished, for we are everlastingly filled with the presence and the Spirit of the living Christ, the living waters, the eternal life. And affirming that all of this is true, all of this is good, and for all of it we are grateful. Now, your pilgrim hands, the praying hands of a child and a sage, Let this be your humble blessing. Greet others. Handshakes and hugs are difficult right now. We can always bless others like this and give our greeting and our grace. For all of this goodness, we are grateful. For everything we've learned today, we affirm that it is true. And so it is. Amen.